Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It's I, Rob the Wine Guy. Tonight, I have an illustrious panel that is one other person other than me, and it is, unfortunately, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Very illustrious. Illustrated. Illusted.
Illusted?
Illusted.
Is that a real word?
Strated.
Strated?
Jaded? Illustrated sports?
I think if we start doing Mad Libs, it'll go in a dark place, so...
It is a dark place already.
I know. Anyway, folks, tonight we have a very exciting program. Well, semi-exciting, I suppose.
I'm excited.
Well, I'm always excited, but nevertheless, tonight we're dealing with an Italian table wine staple classic, in my opinion. And it is Mont Antico from Tuscany. And it is a blend of Sangiovese, Merlot, and Cabernet, which would be 85% Sangiovese, 10% Cabernet, and 5% Merlot. So, yeah, Sangiovese is just a little bit of splash of weightier wines to give it a little more depth, give it a little more structure. Mont Antico is in that same brand, same vein as, say, Col di Sasso.
Yep.
That's one. Viviano. And there are a few other ones that we really like. It's a little bit less expensive than some of the other ones that you'll see out there, too, like Via Antinori and some other ones. But
what do we give for this? 10?
11, I think. 11, 12. Somewhere in the $10 to $12 range. If you're at Costco somewhere else, you might see it cheaper than that. I mean, it's just your regular non-post-off price. It's around 12 bucks.
So this is something that folks can find.
Pretty easily. I mean, any grocery store out there probably have something this or something like it. If you can't find this, buy Viviano or Col di Sasso.
Oh, we love Col di Sasso.
I will say this. I don't think this is on the level of Col di Sasso, quite frankly. But sometimes you'll see wines like this in glass pours and bottle pours and crafts at certain Italian restaurants like Marcello's.
Ooh.
Well, normally Viviano. We have Viviano at Marcello's.
Yes.
But it works well even in a little bit of a glass cup. You know, just it's one of those wines that doesn't care how you serve it. It's just pleasant to drink. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. And we're going to break down the Mont Antico here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So we've got the 2013 Mont Antico from Tuscany. Think of it as a super Tuscan that isn't so super. So
yeah, it's just IGT.
A mediocre Tuscan. Well, they're all IGT.
Well,
IGT, by the way, folks, is a nondescript Tuscan wine or Italian wine. So basically, it's from a certain region, which would be Tuscany. However, it doesn't follow the certain customs, so it's not a Chianti, it's not something like
it's
that.
It's not DOCG.
No, it's not DOC or DOCG.
Unlicensed taxi.
And the reason for that is it's got Cabernet Merlot in it, and that's
everywhere.
Not atypical of Italian wines.
How dare they put that in there.
Just to point this out, it says from select Tuscan hillside vineyards. Interesting. And on the back, we always read the back, so... This blend is a result of the synergy. Okay, it says use the word synergy between Italian wine specialist Neil Empson, which doesn't sound Italian.
Doesn't sound Italian at all.
And renowned winemaker Franco Bernabei, which could be Italian. Bernabei. From the finest grapes and prime Tuscan hillsides. By the way, this is the smallest damn type that's ever been on a fucking... You say, Rob can't read very well. I can't read things that are like...
We say that all the time.
A millimeter tall. Fruit and... Why put it on there? Look how small that shit is. Why put it on there if you can't read it? It's like I need reading glass. Let me borrow your glass.
The only thing that makes your reading look good is your maths.
I'm just going to skip over. Aged 1 year in oak and 6 months in bottle, it is full-bodied and lush. Fruity flavors make this a perfect match for cheese, pasta, and all meat dishes.
Well.
All meat dishes, Scott.
Hamburger helper.
That, but yes.
Now, with hamburger helper, do you go cheeseburger? What do you go?
By the way, I, for the boys, a few months back, I never ate Hamburger Helper as a child. Never. And so I bought, like, their lasagna cuts or whatever it was. I made it, and the boys wouldn't eat it. So then I tasted it. That stuff tastes like damn dog food. It does. Not that I, well, I do. I mean, I don't know what dog food tastes like, but I assume it tastes like that.
Well, you already let it slip out that you do, so we'll just go past that.
Well, yeah, the
cheeseburger Hamburger Helper really is dog food quality.
How do you eat that crap? I mean, God. Anything from a can is better. Anything that's Chef Boyardee or SpaghettiOs tastes so much better than that stuff. And you don't have to brown a pound of damn meat. It's not cheap after you brown a pound of beef.
Well, at least there's no processed chemicals or anything in it that's bad for you. It's a very healthy dish.
Oh my God. It just is just gelatinous and nasty. Oh, don't eat that crap, folks. But yes, this might pair well with that. Back to your original question. So, beef Wellington as well.
Too, oh, yeah.
That is a meat dish.
Is a meat dish.
Yes.
That is a meat dish.
Yeah. Curried goat.
Ooh.
That is a meat dish.
That sounds delicious.
What about that? The Icelandic, is it? Like rotten shark meat?
Oh, yeah, the rotten shark.
That is a meat dish.
God, I think, though, they're thinking meat does not include fish, so.
That's meat. It said all meat dishes.
Okay.
They did.
I think they meant fish is separate.
But they didn't say that. They should have said all red meat dishes or non-fish. But no, they said everything. Everything. Oysters in a half shell, Montantico. Curried goat, Montantico.
Mm, delicious.
A seal's head, Montantico. I don't know if that's actually a dish.
Seal's cheek?
Montantico.
You want to talk about a fatty dish.
I know. Braised oxtail, Montantico.
Ooh.
Yes. Everything.
Well, I'll tell you what.
So technically, this is the only wine you actually ever need to buy.
Ever.
Theoretically.
Well, except for seafood.
You know. Montantico.
This sucker looks the part. Well. You know, they added the Merlot in the cab, and it shows in the glass.
It's slightly translucent.
It is, but it's a
It has darker a darker hue, yes.
Hue than you would get with just Sangiovese.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And you have a little bit of that brambly nose.
Brambly nose.
But it's a little deeper and more cali on the nose than normally a lot of the Sangiovese.
I was going to say that. I was going to say this is almost like a Zin or a Barbera nose from Cali.
Barbera would be a very, yeah.
Just put brambly berry like a Zin might be.
Yeah, and there's that light little vanilla menthol kind of thing going off.
I didn't get the menthol. A little alcohol. But I'll tell you what there is, man. Like
it's only 13%.
Like it's not grassy, but you know how sometimes with grassy you get a little grassy minerality?
Yeah.
It has that minerality to it.
Slightly. Makes a lot of noise when you're sloshing around the glass, too. No, the wines don't do that. You hear that sloshing?
And these are from Zin Chianti glasses.
These are Zin Chianti glasses, yes. From Riedel.
We love you, Riedel.
Yes, we do.
We love you, Riedel. Yes,
but
we do.
Do we love you, Montantico?
Let's dive in.
What about a horse steak? Would that be also Montantico? I think so.
If you're in Spain.
Yes.
So.
Dog, Montantico. Yeah.
There's a certain grapey jamminess that lingers on this a little bit.
And then yeasty in the finish. It's very grapey jammy up front. Not sweet, per se, but I think that Cabernet is streaking in there a little bit and giving it that jammy quality.
When you don't draw air on it, I get a little of the jamminess on the backside, too.
Mm-hmm. The yeasty, I didn't pick up the yeasty that time, which is good, because that's just a automatic disqualifier in my book. But
is there ever a circumstance where yeast would be an acceptable component?
Bread.
To
take that as a no.
That was a stupid question.
I'm just saying, is there a circumstance? A really old pretzels. Bottle of some pretzel.
Oh, you mean an alcohol?
Pretzel, beer, bread. What did we have? It was a beer. Where were we where we had beer that tasted like of pretzels? It was at the last beer fest, wasn't it? That we dogged them out.
We had beer that tasted like ass at the last beer fest.
Those clowns from Grove City.
You have to be more specific.
That was a pretzel flavor.
What?
Yes.
I'd believe you, though. That was the dumbest.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that was the clown show of beer shows. I wonder if Fry Brothers had a booth. Look at our wine!
Oh, it's Beer Fest?
Let me guess your weight. Come up, sir. Come on, come all to Fry Brothers Vineyards.
No, children, that's not the fat lady, that's just my wife.
Oh, no, that's not funny. What is? But that's still, that's just me. Why bring her into this? They made it. What if the winemaker's woman, though?
But that's right. We said they were brothers and they still lived in their parents' house and they didn't have wives.
And they're clowns.
And they knew Steve Bodie?
I think Steve Bodie has enough good sense to say that's bad.
We're so bad. Fry Brothers, we forgive you for our...
No, you're in the wall of shame. Not just for one single wine, for everything that you've made.
But we forgive you for our crudeness.
No, we don't. Pretty much earned it.
We don't forgive them.
Steve Bodie, eh. But to them, yeah.
We've quickly got off the tracks on this one.
They had to do something else. I mean, once again, that big jaminess up front, it's not very Sanjo-esque. And
it's just not.
It's not bad, but I mean, where's the Col de Sasso?
Hello.
Where's the Vidiano? I think if you were in, say, the Spaghetti Warehouse or Buca di Beppo, or whatever. And you were drinking it out of a little glass, the little copa. A cleaner copa, but a copa. It wouldn't be bad at all. It's just you can't experience it like you I guess that's clean. Like you would a normal wine. You can't put good glassware to it because it's not designed for that. It's designed to be drank like this in a glass. This is a Four Roses bourbon glass, folks. That's what it's supposed to be. Quaff like that. It's supposed to be quaffed. It's not supposed to be savored. I think that if you're going to make a wine that designed a wine like that, you shouldn't charge $12 for it, but that's just me. Isn't that better?
It really is.
That's how it's supposed to come in. And
what happens is...
Maybe a slightly bit chilled?
The touch of tannins that are there...
Mm-hmm.
They're portrayed better out of that whiskey glass.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Everything is portrayed better. This overdoes it. Well, this draws out too much.
Yeah.
And
it accentuates what's not great about it.
Well, it's not designed for this medium to be to be taken apart. It's meant to be drank without thinking about
it. But I'm surprised. This was barrel aged for a year. Aged in the bottle for 6 months.
Okay.
And what is in this glass that demonstrates that? Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
Just because they said it.
So they're lying?
Wow, I think so.
I
would suggest that they lie.
Damn it.
No, I don't know. There's no oaky components to this. But who said that they didn't rubberize the inside of the oak barrel? You know, we don't want that leaching out.
There's nothing oaky about this. And there's nothing...
It was probably a steel barrel, a steel sleeve within an oak barrel. So they don't realize that you actually... It's like, you put that in oak, it will leak through. And I'm Hank right now. But it will leak through. You need to put the metal sleeve in there. So they think it's just an outside container. Maybe they aged it in a wicker basket. I don't know. I
mean, they threw oak chips on top of the barrel?
I don't want oak in this at all, mind you.
Well...
No oak. Part of it, though, I'm surprised there's very little acidity from the Sangiovese either. It's very round and soft. Some people would like this a lot, I think. A casual drinker that doesn't want to think about it and just wants to... like Becky tonight at their book club. The Triple B is not on tonight, by the way, folks. She's at her book club. This would be a good book club wine. You know why? Because someone like Paige, who drinks Skinny Girl, would probably be able to drink this. Not that it's sweet, but it's soft. And it can be... It's very approachable.
Yes.
And it doesn't... You know, someone that is just a novice, that is like to the look of the wine to drink, it can be used that way.
And let's remember this. It is just a red table wine. This is meant to be an everyday drinker, what the family would have.
Sure.
And it...
Maybe a little expensive for that. I would think it is what it a 1.5 liter at $13-14. Kind of like the Gabbiano. It should be priced like the Gabbiano. Although this is better than Gabbiano. Gabbiano was atrocious. But the Gabbiano, you could buy a 2 liter, a 1.5 liter for, what was it, $13-14?
Maybe not even that much.
If you could do that with this, it'd be all right.
I have to say, this is growing on me a little bit. The tannins are coming out a little bit in the mid palate.
It hasn't been open that long.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
As I swirl this, you know, these last couple ounces, it is opening a little bit nicely. There is a little tannic backbone to it now that there's not much else.
No. There isn't a grand wine here. There's not even a good wine here. It's an adequate wine for a specific purpose.
Yes.
And, you know, if you were at Olive Garden and you got lasagna rolls.
God, you'd love this.
Oh, yeah. It would go well with that. It really would. Yeah. And I guess we always have to take a step back. And yes, we are the Olympic scoring system here. However, certain things kind of, you know, exist outside the system. Think of this. This is a little more expensive than the Cadet. Mouton Cadet. Remember that? That stuff was righteous trash. This isn't righteous trash.
Mm.
It's not Col de Sasso.
But
Col de Sasso appeals to us.
Well, but I think also that sucker, it had some complexity for what it was. And not only that, but if you don't recall, we thought you could throw a couple years on Col de Sasso.
You could. But think of this term. If you took it to book club, how would it be received? This would be liked better than that.
Yeah, right.
Actually, I sent Sledgehammer Zin to book club. Have you had it recently?
No.
That's a book club wine.
Gotcha.
Now, it has a little bit better structure than this. Much better. And a little more richness. But I'll tell you what. It has bright fruit. It's very relaxed drinking wine. It has some structure. But I think, from a group setting, it is enjoyable.
And is it into 16 now?
Becky bought a phone. But I think you can find 15, 16, 12, 13. You can find multi. You can get yourself a damn vertical of Sledgehammer if you'd like. I don't understand that winemaker. I like the we've liked the Zinfandel a long time ago when we did it.
Oh, we liked the cab. We liked the...
We've never had that. Did we have the cab?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did. I didn't.
But we liked that Sledgehammer blend thing.
No, you had that. I didn't.
You didn't have
Forged
that
Red.
Yeah. You didn't like that? You didn't have it at all.
No, you've had more than that. I just had the Zin. I bought it at another couple of times. Just the back deck thing, and it was $8.99?
Yeah.
And it was really a nice drink.
Yeah, I had bought a couple just to set back and see, because we said, I wonder what this would be if we aged it.
Yeah.
And couldn't age it. I ended up going down the basement. Did I don't you drink have any it? Wine. Let's go drink the Sledgehammer.
Yeah.
But yeah, this doesn't rise to that.
No.
But I'd have to say, as this opens up,
it's not unappealing.
It's not unappealing. None of that, but there's some tannins that are there that are appealing. They're
the wine has fine. The wine is appealing, like we said, time and place. And that's the thing, folks. I mean, if you're just having people over casually, that's not the time to break out. Your Latour that you have on Lapine.
No.
It's not Lapine time. And especially if there are people that don't drink wine, but you want to try to get them into wine. And
this is opening and it's changing. I'm actually...
Yeah.
I'm pulling some chocolate out of this, brother.
I mean, that's... Well, there is a little bit of... I mean, I don't know, I'll call it dark chocolate, but there is a little bit of a milk chocolate. A little bit. But this is the wine where you want somebody to be more comfortable in drinking wine. It's one of those wines that might kind of do that a little bit. It can't hurt. Especially with food. I think food, red sauces, not all meat dishes.
Easy. Some. Yeah, not all meat dishes.
And this would not do well with sea urchin at all. What about sushi? Montantico.
Sushi and the Banshees?
No, just sushi. A little sashimi?
No.
A sashimi chicken? How would that do it?
Some pho?
Pho?
Pho, you too, man.
Yeah. Oh, that's very clever. Yeah, they really need to work on that in the back label. It's like saying that we're the most popular podcast there ever was. It's just not particularly accurate.
We are the most popular podcast in Baltimore, Ohio.
I don't know that there are any other podcasts in Baltimore, Ohio to say that.
Why would you bring that up?
Well, that's true. As far as we know, how's that sound? Yeah. It's like, yeah, I'm not sure that that's true. It's probably somebody that has a sewing podcast that has like 10 more listeners than we do. Bastards. It's always something.
Bastards.
Tonight we're going to do cross stitching. Yay. Okay. We're going to do a Confederate flag. Cross stitch a Confederate flag here on the cross stitching network here in Baltimore, Ohio.
It's like a chief of staff coming out and saying, oh, you took credit for funding this before you were in Congress. And
I thought he had a spine, but now I know he's just
video comes out where that's not true.
Folks, there's certain words that even we can't say on the Wine Vault, but
mostly because we don't pronounce things very well. We don't pronounce things very well at all.
But I think he actually proved himself to be a see you next Tuesday. I believe that's what he, you know, proved himself to be, nothing but that.
Perfect fit?
Yeah. That's all that man is. Well, I wouldn't even call him that. Take his stars from him. What a coward. They're all just disgusting human beings.
It really
beings.
Is bad.
They are. The whole lot of them. They just fuck off.
And then what's her name? Not Kellyanne Conway, but the other one, Huckabee Sanders.
She's a joke. Schmidt. Her dad is a joke. So how could she be taken seriously? It's like, my dad is Huckabee. I just laugh at her.
How dare you challenge a 4-star Marine general?
Just
wait,
to point this out.
So I can't.
They have to work.
I have to take everything a 4-star.
They have to work once
says.
This is up, and nobody's going to hire their ass. They'll be on the Wine Vault.
What do you mean, Sean?
He's not doing too well.
He's not hired yet?
I feel bad for that. I do feel bad for that guy.
Yeah. If
he's not that, he doesn't have the self awareness yet to know. But
see, I always felt like he did have self-awareness. I thought there was always a certain level of shame. Yeah. Might have been displayed when he was hiding in the bushes that day.
Yeah, you know, they all should be. Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break and come back here on the Wine Vault. And folks, we're back. On tonight's potpourri, we're going to go back in time. Back into a time where Scott was 45. We're talking like 25 years ago.
Back when I was 45.
Many years ago, back in the 60s.
She was only 45 and she was sexy.
That's disgusting. Anyway, back how we started off and how we got to where we are now, drinking-wise. Normally, it's been, you know, life problems and, you know, emotional scarring that's brought us to where we are today, drinking-wise. But ignoring that, the trauma and the abuse that we have suffered.
Beatings from our wives.
Yeah. Oh, you know.
Scarring.
I hate it.
Emotional scarring. Oh, I kind of enjoy it. I kind of like it. Me and Joffrey are kin spirits. You know, I don't wear the dog collar, but I enjoy the abuse.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, so where do we start off as to how we got here today? Not that that's particularly interesting, but it's the topic that Triple B has assigned us for tonight. I don't know if it's a challenge or if she just wants to see how bad it will be.
How the level of humiliation that she can draw upon us.
Possibly. Well, you know.
I'm going to be honest, I'll start.
No, I'll start. Oscar. I'm thinking back. Now, I'm going to ignore pre-21, okay? I'm just going to start off 21st birthday, okay? The first, you know what I bought on my 21st birthday to drink?
Mogan David.
No. Lindeman's Bin 65 Chardonnay, baby.
What made you do that?
I don't know. It was $5.99. I also believe KJ Johannesburg Riesling, too. I didn't drink, really? But I bought that for my friends because they wanted to drink. And I was working at the Andersons at this time. God knows why I bought that. But I remember I drank the whole thing.
In the wine department at that time?
I didn't buy it from the wine department, but I was working in the wine department. Yes, I would go in on Fridays and work when I was at Ohio State. And so it was, you know, I think it was $4.99, $5.99, whatever. I remember I drank the whole thing. I was drunk. I'm sitting there just giggly in a chair. I'm like, just like an asshole. From there, I don't recall. I'm trying to think when I started to do more reds because I didn't really have a collection. I didn't really have a collection until I was started buying more like that. Until later time, I would have like four or five in my kitchen, in my apartment, my shitty apartments. But I don't really think I drank much. I mean, my friends didn't drink wine, and God knows I heard of this thing called a woman, but I, you know.
So our listeners,
it was a foreign subject.
Our listeners are thinking to themselves, "Yes, you still giggle like an asshole.
Well, I know, but still, drunk. I mean, you still don't really know what the concept of a woman is. But nevertheless, so I remember that. Interesting aside, senior year in college, I kind of knew what a woman was, but in a respectful manner. But anyway, I got a knock on the door. And this has nothing to do with wine, folks. It's just shocking. And I opened the door, and there was this older Asian lady with her young daughter. I don't know. And she goes, and I'm not going to use an accent because that's offensive. But she goes, "Are you looking for a wife?"
No.
I swear to God.
Wait, no.
I swear this happened.
Senior year in college.
Yes.
Unannounced knock on the door.
Yes, I didn't know who they were. I'd never seen them before. I assume they live somewhere around there. I didn't know who they were. And I was in college.
Where is this? Where is your apartment?
University Village off on Tangi.
Bullshit.
I swear to God.
I'm there all the time doing unlicensed work. All the time.
I don't really want to know what you're
doing. No, all the time students are there.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's
yeah.
And what was her nationality, you think?
I don't know. They were Asian. I didn't...
It's a huge population in that area.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
but,
today.
And so I was like taken aback and I go, "No, thank you." And I shut the door. That actually happened, which is bizarre.
How old was the daughter, would you say?
I would, God honest to hope, over 18. But I don't really remember. I don't know. Yeah.
Wow.
That did happen, which was weird.
That's shocking. It is shocking.
Yeah.
And
what would you do if someone said yes? You push the daughter in, you walk away?
I think you're done.
That's a bad deal for the daughter. Because the dude that would say yes probably has a dog collar. I'm just guessing.
Who knows what?
That's kind of who does that?
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
And what? I mean, I assume the daughter wasn't there willingly, which kind of questions what the,
I assume the things that's mother. Been lost.
In
the discussion of immigration policy, the wall, whatever you want to call it, the Dreamers, is that people come to this country for just a chance. And I would hope to hell that that mom was doing what she did out of desperation, and she just wanted a better life for her daughter.
In retrospect.
And it's a god-awful possibility for that daughter if she was thrown on some guy.
Well, in retrospect, though.
But that's...
I don't know that was her daughter. I just assume.
True that.
So back to the main topic. So, progression of drinking. So you start off there.
So that led you to drink? That led you to where you are today?
I don't know. I think I was too aloof to realize what happened. I just kind of think back. Anyway, so... When I, law school, whatnot, I started buying things in that. I remember I bought this little, the first wine I ever bought to set back. Robert Parker gave it like a 92, and it was $9.99, and it was some little provincial...
Little French thing.
Yeah, a little French thing. Côte de Rousson, one of those southern non-Côte de Rhône areas, you know, up the river there a little bit. One of those things. I think. And then from there, I bought some Chateauneuf. I bought a little bit of Cabernet. And it kind of progressed. And I remember I would go over to Shakespeare and Phil's, and don't call me Cynthia, their house, and we would indulge ourselves in these things. And I really started going then. And I remember we would drink what we had on hand, and then because... Cindy had drank everything, and Phil and I never had a drop. We would go then to the Andersons and buy more.
Really?
Yeah. Because
this was back here out east.
Yeah, and it was still down there. So this would have been after 2000 or no? Yeah, after 2000 because that's when they built their house down there, or maybe 99. So after that, about 17, 18 years ago, and so we would go up there, and I remember they had this wonderful little dessert wine, French dessert wine, for $9. We'd buy that. We would buy Domaine de la Remagine, Genevrier, okay. Those Côte de Rhones. We'd buy Louis Bernard, their Côte de Rhone. A lot of Côte de Rhones we would buy. Sometimes some Zin. We'd go back and finish that. Send Cindy to Taco Bell at 11:30 at night, because, you need some Taco Bell. That's how it started for me. And then from there, we would do, through my work at Anderson's, there would be tastings and tastings and tastings. And normally Phil went along with those. Sometimes Adam, buddy Adam. Actually, Matt went to one.
You had some great experiences.
You've
talked about many times before the night the Italian wine tasting at the Columbus Athletic Club.
Oh, no, that wasn't at the Athletic Club.
What was it?
That was at the Capitol Club.
The Capitol Club.
I did have a dinner at the Athletic Club one time. The mayor spoke at that. That was when I was in law school, and that was the rollout for, Roddenberger for Columbus. I have that champagne glass right there. That Roddenberger champagne glass.
Okay.
That's what we were drinking out of.
They
were just everywhere for free. And so we had surf and turf that night. I remember that.
Very nice.
But, so that was kind of how it started. But really, in the last few years is really when I've been focusing in. I had introductory knowledge. But then I started fostering it more and more. And then since we started the show, really getting back into it. So
and for me, it started as a simple thing. I really remember the first time I thought I was a big stud and went out and bought all the wine to bring to a young lady and have a glass and a bottle of wine. And it was the early era of White Zinfandel. And it wasn't the sugary sweet nosh. It was almost like a mid-dry Riesling at the time.
They had a few. Vendange was one.
Vendange was everywhere then. But there were some little Australian white zins that weren't bad. Mm. It was weird, the different.
I don't know what they had in the late 70s, so.
This wasn't the late 70s. This was the 80s.
81?
Oh,
82.
But then red wine. It was Chianti was my first red wine love. I've always liked Italian stuff. But then early on, as soon as I was involved with Zinfandel, I've always loved those. Those, and there was a little range of time where California Barberas were kind of sort of everywhere, and you could get those, and I liked those. But then this guy ruined my life by introducing me to Turley, and it's been downhill ever since.
That was a good night, the Turley dinner.
Holy shit.
And folks, I don't know, we probably talked about it before, but not really. It was, Refectory is this excellent, wonderful place up in Columbus, a French restaurant, and it's proper. I mean, it's all the way French, really, especially for the Midwest.
I think they're a little less French now than once upon a time. True.
But it's proper dinner service. Nothing 100%. Is rushed. And lots of game on the menu. So if you want elk, you want unusual things, that's where you get it. If you want terrine, you're not going to get terrine anyplace else except at the Refectory. And so we had a wine dinner where, what was it, 6 courses, 7 courses?
Something like that.
And it was with Turley's wines. So it was, we did, it was 6 different Turleys, I think, plus Prosecco and something else. And so we each course was paired with a separate Turley. And it was one of those nights where you're experiencing it. And the room was full. There was probably, 40 people there, 50
nothing
people?
Nothing but wine, folks.
Yeah. And some people were there just because I think they go to every one.
Right.
And some people were there because, like me...
They knew Turley.
We knew Turley. We knew that it was a special night. And for me, and then for you also, to experience it that first time, my wife, Triple B, also loves Turley. And she says some, and she's always said there's a Turley has a certain mouthfeel. And she's right, because recently we had Ravenswood Tedeschi, and we really liked it. But it doesn't have a Turley
mouthfeel. It doesn't have a Turley mouthfeel.
Only Turleys do that.
There's a certain...
And each Turley, like the Duarte. I don't particularly like the Turley Duarte, but it always tastes like the Duarte.
So I do have to say my little progression of wine. There was a wine shop here, and my friend Rob is not as enamored of this group of owners as I was. But they taught me about wine. What I loved about this particular shop, they did flights, but they would have 5 different flights. So did you want an Italian flight? Did you want... And they would mix things up.
Let me say this, though. Except for Becky getting violently ill one time from food poisoning, I really liked the food. Yeah. I really liked the one in Gahanna. That was good.
It was a better shop. It was a bigger shop.
They also had Hilltop. But, and they had a lot of Hilltop. But it wasn't so bad.
But they educated their staff. Mm-hmm. You know, and Columbus is not an educated wine community.
Not particularly. Not.
They had good staff training. They knew what they were trying to accomplish. And they did it. And once they knew your palate, they would say, "Ah, I remember you, Scott. You'd like this. I've got a wine for you." And they were spot on. That's really got me to try different things. And I that's the place where I realized I love red wine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a red wine guy. So I got to give Craig and Jeff.
They were pushing props. Earthquake before Earthquake was in stores. I remember that. Now, we've never had Earthquake simply because we won't pay $25 for it, but they were pushing that stuff.
I remember their first tasting was a Washington wine tasting, and they had wonderful setup. It was before they were serving food,
mm-hmm.
and it was just the... It was, I'll never forget that tasting.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost nothing, too. It was like $25, and realistically, it was like as much as you wanted to drink.
This is the thing. I'm thinking back, and you always had to wait. I wonder what really happened there, why they couldn't make it.
I think there were just some issues. I think he...
Management issues.
I think it was beyond that.
It's such a good concept if it worked.
Well, he early on, before he even had a second location, before he opened that Grove City shop, he was approached and he had some big offers to franchise it and do that. And he just, for whatever reason, he felt like he wasn't ready.
Well, I remember Adam and I.
I'd like to run into Craig again. And Craig, if you're out there and somehow you listen to this, reach out to us.
No, sure
love to talk to you.
Adam and I both had fillets. And I remember we both commented on how perfectly they looked. They looked like an actual picture. And we were wondering where they cooked them. But they, I mean, because they had a tiny...
Yeah.
Becky had prawns, and that's probably a mistake. Well, she could have had a gluten reaction, but I don't think so.
And that was before she knew what was going on with that.
No, she's known for years. She knew that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She's known since she was in college.
Okay.
She's probably known 12 years. No, but I think it was food poisoning with her, though. She was really sick. Really got sick. But my filet was excellent. It was an excellent concept. We just don't have much of that anymore. Although, I think the Refectory, though, now is selling wine. They have a wine shop. We need to go up and check that out. So, folks, that kind of gives you an idea of where we come along and why we're here and why we enjoy it. And I hope the Triple B will be impressed by what we did, but I doubt she will be.
Yeah, she's never impressed.
No,
we're not impressive.
I'm impressed with myself.
But what's your story? What's your wine story? What do you have?
I told
Share your wine story with us.
I told it.
Reach out to us.
Oh, you mean them. People.
Oh, my God. You know there are other people than us that listen to the show.
Yeah.
Tell us your story.
Yeah, reach email out to us. WineOutlook or winevault@outlook.com. Please.
We want to hear your progression, your wine story.
You could also tweet us, you know, Wine Podcast, omit the A.
I like when I tweet us.
Yeah, the A was extra when you put that in, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And we're going to come back and provide a very accurate numerical review for the Monte Antico here on the Wine Vault.
To say something, this has opened up quite nicely.
It's pleasant. It's a pleasant quaffing wine.
It really has opened nicely. I don't know that it quite demonstrates completely Sangiovese.
No.
But you've got nice characteristic. What this has as a backbone, it really has a nice tannic backbone.
You know what it has? And this is going to be shocking. It actually has a fairly decent mouthfeel.
Now?
Yeah.
Now, how did that change? How
air? I mean, it hadn't been decanted for more than 20 minutes before probably got here.
But
it has a decent mouthfeel.
Yes, it
nice softness.
It at first it just was you knew it was Sangiovese, but now, like you said, it's a soft, subtle mouthfeel.
It's a pleasant wine. It really is a pleasant wine. Mm-hmm. So where are you at?
Well, I blew through this review and I put down an 83, and because it's opened up, I have to change it. It's not spectacular. It's not great.
No.
It's an 85.
Yeah.
But, and I have to emphasize, if you choose this wine, yeah, much like any other wine, even though it's a red table wine, decant it.
Oh, you have to.
Let it open.
Yeah, let it breathe.
There's nothing spectacular about this wine. But it's a nice red table wine. 85, and I'm going to recommend it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's nothing about this that I love, but would I drink it again? Absolutely.
I just got a wonderful, I brought in quite a bit. Nice tannic streak. A little bit of blueberry. It's really, really drinking well. Now,
it's really drinking well.
Yeah.
And there's that little mid-palate blob of chocolate there. What it isn't is it's not particularly well structured. There's not anything.
It's got structure.
There's not really any finish. The front palate's kind of.
But it's 85% Sangiovese. They are fairly acidic, especially when you have a cheaper wine. Now, expensive Sangioveses can be very expensive, but you can't expect this big finish because there's acidity. It's going to clean it up. I'm at an 85 as well. That's what I was thinking about before you said anything, quite frankly. But it's an 85 all day long. And quite frankly, that's where we say value exists.
Yes, 100%.
I mean, recommended. I recommend it, especially if you decant it. You're going to like it. It's not as brooding. It's not as interesting as the Col de Sasso. The Col de Sasso, though, is something that is... It is standalone. And it is, I think, an outlier.
It definitely is an outlier.
Yeah, it's special.
That's the word I was thinking of for the $10 and below wines we've done. It's also
$2 cheaper.
It's one of the more special things we've done on the show. Yeah, and
it really is special.
But this is a nice Italian table. It's also a little interesting in that it's not just Sangiovese.
No.
Even though, you know, the Italians go, Merlot, Cab, I think that's what makes this interesting. I think that's what makes this...
That's what gives the mouthfeel.
Yeah, 100%. And it's not Merlot mouthfeel. It's not a Cab mouthfeel. It's this softer, pleasant thing. They've taken Sangiovese, which honestly doesn't have much of a mouthfeel. It's lean. Typically, they're lean.
It just depends on how much you're spending. I mean, because the Vitanza... Was that lean? No, it wasn't lean. No. The Brunello di Montalcino. I got you on that. So, 285s, folks. A recommended wine. It's a really... It's a likable wine.
It is likable.
It is.
And we it's even, like a mutt. Even before it opened up, we kind of sort of wanted to like it.
I like it.
What completely happened as it opened up? That jamminess is gone.
By the way, this is the 13. That's actually got some shelf life. I mean, you know... That's 4 years old now, as we're speaking. That's for a less expensive wine. That's a Sangiovese, you know.
And so they barrel aged it for a year, and we mock that because there's not evidence of the barrel aging. But that has to go to why it's so nice and soft.
Well, that means that it was in the bottle in 15.
Right. So it was barrel aged for a year, then bottle aged for 6. And that's why, you know, we're able to get it as a 13 rather than a 15 or a 14 or whatever.
It's a good wine. It's a good wine.
And I'm going to remember this wine as I'm out there looking for stuff because I really like Italian varietals.
It puts a smile on your face. It really does. It really opens up. Yeah. That's all you can ask for, really. And like I said, book club wine, that's where it's at. Good wine. By the way, Monte Antico. Tip of the cap to you.
Tip of the cap.
Good job.
Tip of the cap.
Good job. We're proud of you. So, for the unlicensed taxi driver and Rob the wine guy, we're going to bid you adieu, and we will see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.